Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 17, and we're going to be picking up with the last two verses of chapter 17. And I want you to just to think back what's happened here. Lots transpired in chapter 16 and 17. If you'll remember, God's chosen, his anointed to serve as high priest, and priests were challenged. And God took care of that, and in fact, settled it to the point where he had each tribal leader bring a rod. And you remember one of those rods budded. And you think about how supernatural that is, for a rod to bud and produce. And so God clearly showed the people of Israel who his anointed high priest was, Aaron. And that rod bringing forth the almond, it signified that God confirmed his leadership. And before we read that 12th and 13th verse, I just want to share some of the things that Pete and I were talking about today, and going back over Numbers and revisiting this account, is that it's so important for us to be content where the Lord has placed us. You know, there's freedom when we just simply do what we know to do in the moment, where we don't have to be responsible for knowing the future. You know, that's not our position anyway. The Lord's taken care of that. But when we're content and happy with just simply doing what we know to do in the day, serving the Lord to the best of our ability, that takes away the need for position. It takes away the need for title or recognition. And that's what I see here in this account. It's simply, to me, it's the lesson of be content where you are, where the Lord's placed you, with who you are. You know, one of the things, one of the valuable lessons that I've been learning over the last 5 years, particularly with my time here at STC, or 6 years, however long, is who I am in the Lord. And discovering who I am in the Lord takes the pressure off of me to try to compare myself to other people. I don't have to do that because I am who the Lord has created me to be. And so with that, there's no need to think about comparing myself to somebody else, because that all that does is it brings a lot of pain to me. And it does no good to me. It can make me feel bad if I choose to think on things. And so I suppose that's why I'm bringing this up, is because when we are comfortable, I guess comfortable is not a good word, but when we come to the realization that God loves us, content, thank you, content in who God has created us, how he's created us, realizing that he makes no mistakes, it takes the pressure off. I don't have to perform to be good enough for somebody else. I don't have to look a certain way to get man's approval. I don't have to be concerned that my hair's not brown anymore. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but that's a big deal for women. This is how the Lord has created me. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. Do I have things to work on? Of course. A list a mile long. But here's what I know. I know my heart, and I know my heart loves the Lord. And I know he loves me. And I know I'm one with Jesus, and He's one with me. And so in my book, and in His book, that makes me good enough. Because it's Jesus who does that for me. It's not me. It's Him.
You know, happiness and fulfillment is intrinsic. And people have a tendency to look for things outside to fulfill them, thinking if I had this, I would be happy, or if I could go there, I would be happy, and it won't do it. It's just not going to happen. And we were talking about the Korah specifically, how here's a Korahite. God chose the family of the Korahites to carry the holy things of God. I mean, they were a privileged family. But He wasn't content to do what the Lord had called Him to do. And we were talking today how this is an issue with many people. Is they're not content in doing what God has called them to do. And consequently, if you don't concentrate and pursue what God's called you to do, you never maximize your potential. When you're chasing elusive dreams, so to speak, then you never fulfill the purpose for which God's ordained you. And, you know, I've told people, and I have for years, never pursue a position. Don't pursue leadership. Be a disciple. And if you'll become a disciple, and you're faithful in small things, then God, that doesn't go unnoticed by God. God will entrust you with other things. But your mind's not on that. And I don't care how high you go up the ladder, so to speak, you never pass servitude. And when you cease to be a servant, I don't care what your title is, you cease to be an effective leader for God. You may lead people in the ways of man, but you won't lead them in the ways of God. And to me, a true leader is a dedicated servant. It's one whose mind's on serving God, not getting people to serve them. You understand? And so this is where Korah was. He wanted a position of recognition, you know. Who do you think you are? Well, I know who I am, but by the grace of God, I would be in major trouble. That's who I am. It has nothing to do with position. People say, well, you can say that because you're in disposition of that position. I could say that when I wasn't. You understand? And my heart hasn't changed at all. Now, to me, I'm a servant of the Lord just as much as I was the day I was born again. And we need to understand that. And I was happy and content being a mechanic. I liked it. I don't know why. But I was doing what I was supposed to do then. I was happy. I've never sought to be the boss man. I've never sought a position. I just enjoyed what I was doing, and I wanted to do as good as I could do in what I did. And now I know very little about the modern day technology. They don't even call them mechanics anymore. They're technicians today, right? But that had a place in my life. Had I not been faithful in those things, we wouldn't have moved on to other things. But I was never seeking to how far I could get. I just, when the Lord started revealing things to me, I just fell in love with the Lord. And that hasn't changed. I mean, I love the revelation that comes from the Lord. I love reading the Bible. You understand? I don't read the Bible to impress anybody. Well, how many times have you read the Bible? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. When I reach Revelation, I start back over. You understand? I want to hear what God's saying, and if I want to hear what God's saying, I need to subject myself to the Word of God. It's not all dropping out of the atmosphere, you understand. God will bring that Word to life on the inside of you. But you have to be content in that. Well, I don't like what I'm doing. Besides, I'm as good as Aaron and Moses. That'll get you in trouble. It's not that you're not as good as, but that's not what you're anointed to do. The best place you can be is where God set you apart. You understand the tribe of Levi was set apart from all the rest of the tribes of Israel to minister to the Lord. That's what they're set apart to do. In what we call full-time ministry, where God has actually called the person and set them apart. It's just like that tribe being set apart. You're set apart for this, but you're there as a servant. You're not better than the rest of the people. You're there to serve God in a specified capacity, just like they're going to serve God in the capacity God has them in. Okay? And then when you look at the tribe of Levi, we've already gone through this. You know, you had three families there, the Kohathites and the Merarites and the Gershonites. Each one was anointed, which simply means set apart. They were set apart for a specific thing. Well, if your anointing is taking the curtains down and the hangings and all these type things, then whistle while you work. Be happy. That's what God's called you to do. That's as happy as you can be. Doing what God's called you to do, that will bring joy to your life. You understand? And you don't have to look at the Kohathites. You don't have to look at the Gershonites or whomever. You're just happy in what God's called you to do. And I thank God. I was telling Heather today, I thank God for delivering me from the arena of comparing yourself among yourselves and with all this religious stuff and meetings and who's got the biggest church and who brings in the biggest attendance and all this kind of stuff. And those things don't matter to me. They'll feed a man's ego. But what's God called you to do? How would you like Jeremiah's ministry or Ezekiel's? God tells Ezekiel, you go to these people, they're going to speak your language, you're going to speak their language, they're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. But you go anyway and tell them what I said. That way they're without excuse. They'll know that a prophet's been in the midst, you understand? And so we put so much emphasis on success is how many people you get saved. Well, we want people saved. We want people born again. We want people filled with the Spirit of God. But that's not measuring the success. The success is measured by obedience to God. If I'm obeying God and nobody gets saved, I obeyed God. You understand, Ezekiel wasn't a failure. Jeremiah, God said, now, here's your call. I want you to go in and I want you to root out, pluck up, tear down, destroy. Man, how's that for starting your ministry? But the purpose of that is to build and plant. And if you follow the life of Jeremiah, you'll find that Jeremiah was somewhat of a lone ranger. I mean, nobody wanted anything to do with him. Here's a true prophet, but people want to follow the false prophets. They don't want to hear what he says. But he stayed true to God. Stay true to God. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't think you need to be in this position. Don't think you need to be doing this thing or that thing. You understand? Be happy where you are. I love music, but I've got enough sense to know that God didn't call me to sing. Now, I can sing to the Lord. I sing a lot. You don't hear it. You understand? But that's not what He's called me to do. He hasn't called me to be just a hard-thriving, arm-flinging preacher. If that's what God's called you to do, go for it. You obey God. And I've been ridiculed for just standing in one place. Yeah. People to tell you that you're not moving. You're not moving me, boy. They have a preconceived idea. Get the preconceived ideas out of your mind. The happiest you'll ever be is doing what God called you to do. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about what you do. You understand? We still clean bathrooms, don't we? I'm not above it, and I hope I never get to the place that I think that I can't mop a floor or clean out a commode. I'm just not that important, you understand? If it needs to be done, you do it. And you're happy to do it. No, there's things I prefer to do. You understand? But you're happy serving the Lord. You with me? The Kohathites were extremely privileged to carry the holy things. You understand? And so if God has spoken to you, and whether it's a leadership ministry, a leadership ministry, like the Kohathites, the Levites, all of the Levites were to assist. We'll find this as we go along. They were to assist the priesthood, but they were never the priesthood. They were forbidden to go work in that priesthood. It could cost them their very life. Why? Because they're stepping out of their anointing. That's not what God called them to do. And I want to get this word in you. Anointing is your setting apart for a particular purpose. So, what are you anointed to do? God called Cyrus through the prophet Isaiah, his anointed, his shepherd. But Cyrus was a Persian king, you understand. He wasn't a Jew. But God called him his anointed. What did he do? He had set him apart for a particular purpose. God has you set apart for a particular purpose. And your gifts and abilities will be peculiar to the thing that God's called you to do. Believe it or not, you're born into the earth with more equipment than you think you have. It just has to be developed. But understand this, you can't develop what's not there. And so many people are trying to develop something that they don't have the potential. You ever heard a preacher just absolutely wear you out? You bore a hole in the wall. You know what I'm saying? That's not his anointing. That's not what he's called to do. But even the one who is anointed needs to get in the presence of God to where now that anointing is inspired. You have to operate with the inspiration of God. And when you're in the position you're supposed to be in, then you have that grace and that inspiration to do what God's called you to do. That's the thing we want you to learn out of this. Learn the history. Yeah, Korah rebelled against the leadership. But then let's go deeper than that. It was a heart issue. It's a pride issue. It's an ego thing. And I'm telling you, over the years, I've seen, actually talking to Heather about it today, that many ministers minister not for God per se, not for the people per se, but they want the people saved so they can get the accolades for the people being saved. Well, you lost your reward, because your reward is you got the recognition of people. Mm-hmm. And so that should not be the thing that feeds your ego. It should actually be a fearful thing to you and something that humbles you. God, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to misrepresent you in any way. And so we minister because of our passion for the Lord, not our passion per se for the people. It's our compassion that moves us to the people. We're passionate to the Lord, which if you get the heart of the Father, it's a compassionate heart. And when you start operating with the heart of the Father, you're going to minister to people. You're going to serve them. You're not looking to see what they can do for you. You're wanting to do for them, because that's our way of ministering to the Lord. You see, the Israelites' way of ministering to the Lord was to bring their sacrifices to the priest. Now, you can look at that naturally. Well, we're giving this best of our food and all this. We're giving this to a man. Well, you've already missed it. No, you're giving that to God. And because God had selected them to represent Him, that's all the inheritance they had. You understand? They didn't enjoy the inheritance like the other tribes did. But you have to realize you're giving to God. Our gifts and abilities should be given to God. They should not be used to exploit or to make money off of. I know when we first started, even before we went into full-time ministry, still working secular work, teaching some Bible studies and this thing, and we were taping, you know, some of the studies and all that, and some people at their request we were, and they wanted to know, how much did we pay for these tapes? I said, you don't pay anything for the tape. But the Lord spoke to me at the very beginning. He said, freely you've received. Freely you give. Don't sell what I give you. You didn't earn the revelation. Don't you make them pay for the revelation. You follow me? And so this is what we have to practice. Understand, what do you have that God didn't give you? Well, I work for it. Who gave you the health to work for it? Who put you in the right position? Who gave you the grace and the favor to be there? Do you understand that these things are given to us by God? The very air you breathe is given to you by God. And so I don't have anything to give that's not given to me, nor do you. And we have to realize that. And so you use what God's given you to be a blessing to other people. Well, if I do that, they'll take advantage of me. You're absolutely right. People will take advantage of you. But they're not taking advantage of you. They think they are. They're actually trying to take advantage of God. I've been told, don't you know you've been taken advantage of? I said, they're not taking advantage of me. I know exactly what I'm doing. They may think they are, but I'm going to leave that between them and God. You understand? You got to get your heart in tune with the Father and stay committed to Him and be happy at what you're doing. You know, those people that pastor these huge churches, have these major Bible colleges and all that, I don't envy them for a second. I am perfectly content because I know I'm where I am doing what I'm supposed to do. So I'm as happy as I could be. Why would I want to move out of that? To become president of the nation would be many steps down. I'm happy where I am. And we want you to get where God wants you to be so you'll be happy as well. And you'll just have peace in your heart, and you won't be jealous of anybody. You understand? And there's too much jealousy and competition and stuff like this in the body of Christ. And we've got to get rid of that. I was just talking to these two ladies today. You know, God has sent, and I love them. And it's not based on performance. It's based on the heart of God. It's just the heart of God. You understand? And so I don't impose, I don't think, on them. But I want them to be, and the rest of you, you know, I want you to be what God wants you to be. We're not trying to make you do something. You know, we're not making Michaela or Lynn or Polly or anybody else. We're not making them do anything. It's a means to serve the Lord. Using what God's given you to give back to the Lord. You understand? Cora didn't have that revelation. God's given us the opportunity to get the revelation of how critical it is to stay in that anointing that God's put you in and not to step out of that. In their case, it cost them their life. In your case, it's going to cost you your peace, and it may cost you your life. You want to stay where God wants you. And just let the chips fall where they may. You walk in truth, and you can't do wrong doing right. You understand? So, love the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have given me the opportunity to be born, first off, in a nation to where I can freely worship you. And I thank God for being born into a family that told me about Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. You understand, that's a heritage. That's really a heritage. And just this week, that would have been yesterday, or today, one, I was just thanking God. As I started to pray, I said, Lord, I just thank you that I have the privilege and opportunity to just kneel before you and pray without fear or threat of life, that I can just communicate with you. So you don't know how much of a privilege that is. God's placed us. Don't be discontent with where God places you. He doesn't place everybody in the same place. And this is another thing we were talking about. Heather actually had mentioned how many people had sort of gone through the doors. You know, through your fingers. But I don't get upset with that. You understand? They're not my people. So we have a role to play and some influence in people's lives. Sometimes it's short term. Sometimes it's long term. But whatever the case is, you don't get upset and don't get angry with people. You know, I was talking to someone just Sunday, actually. They were, you know, somewhere else, and I said, that's fine with me. You know, we're not here to control. We're just here to get your mind on the Lord and let the Lord lead you where He wants you to be. The happiest you're going to be is being at the place God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. And you have to be in a place to where your vision is in agreement with the overall vision, then there's no contention, arguments, and all this kind of stuff. It's just that you're liberated to serve. Cora could have served God, been happy, but he let that ego and that pride get in his way. We don't want that to happen. Understand?
Very good. Thank you.
Is that all you was thinking about today?
Really what it is, what it comes down to, it's so simple, is that we just love y'all. And we want you to just flourish in the Lord. And I think about Joshua so often, how he left nothing undone that he was to do. And we just want y'all to don't leave anything undone. Don't miss anything that you were supposed to have done. Be sensitive to the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on Him, because when we divert our eyes to ourselves, that's when we miss it. When we divert our eyes to other people thinking prideful things, we miss it. We just want the very, very best for you. We want you blessed in the Lord. And so we hope this is an encouragement to you. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know what I'm anointed to do. Just do what you know to do. I know Pete says that there's so much truth to that. When we just simply do what we know to do in the moment, whether it's speaking to a person at a store, whether it's encouraging a family member, we never know what the situation's going to be. I was reminding Pete of somebody that I love dearly. I talked to that person the day before he died. It was a very unexpected death. And I knew the Lord had placed in my heart, this was years ago, tell him Jesus loves him. I was too embarrassed and I wouldn't do it. And then I got the phone call the very next day. He's passed away. You know what? I missed it big time on that. I missed it big time. I know the Lord has forgiven me for that. But I tell you that, may that be an encouragement to you. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen 30 minutes from now. But all that's going to work out just fine if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obey the Lord. So keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Obey Him. And it's all going to work out just fine.
It's just a fact of putting your attention on the Lord. You keep your attention on the Lord during the day. You keep your attention on the Lord. Someone asked me a question today, and the bottom line of the answer to that was just God first. God first in whatever you do. Seek the counsel of God. When you're doing things, you're talking to God, whether people hear you or not. We had some issues here just a little while ago, I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I'm asking the Lord in the inside of me, Lord, show me. Show me what to do. How did we get this problem resolved? And He did. So that's how the problem gets resolved. That's how you fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Do what you know to do. And it begins with you know to read the Bible, you know to pray. That's where it starts. If you're not willing to read your Bible, if you're not willing to pray, then don't expect God to tell you other things. And then when you get a prompting, say this to this person, I don't care how insignificant it may seem, just do it. Just do it and let God take care of the rest of it. And don't concern yourself, well, what will they think of me? Ask yourself, what will God think of me if I don't? Will that be pleasing to Him? And you know, as you just order your life that way, you'll fulfill the purpose. Without pursuing purpose, you fulfill purpose by doing what you know to do. But when you start getting your eyes on this, that, and the other, you go miss the purpose of God for your life. And then in this case, like so many times, it created problems for other people too. You understand that it breeded discontent among many people. It cost many people their lives. You understand? 250 at one time, and then Korah, and then you look at the sons of Reuben who weren't even supposed to be ministering around the temple. They got caught up in this thinking that they should be like Moses and Aaron. And God had not even called anyone from the tribe of Reuben. You understand? Dathan and Abiram were brothers of another tribe. Well, they could have done what God wanted them to do, but they chose to pursue the wrong thing. And didn't keep God first place in their life. All right, we'll stop here and we'll take a break and we'll come back to this. And we didn't know we were going to say all these things.